The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your dream is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
See, we should be recording now.
I said.
Look at my physique.
I said. It's
yeah.
Not even
like
fat
kind of
shaming. It's soft
shaming. I was telling
them right? Just a flaccid shaming.
That it could be a new business. Like, hang out with me. Like, take me to an event because you look good for something.
That's right.
You feel better about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice face.
Hire Shams for a night. You'll feel great about yourself.
We're the same outfit. Look infinitely better.
Who's that old wrinkled fat fuck beside so-and-so?
Yeah.
They look great. Beside that bag of shit. Anyway, it's Footy Prime. And it was a weekend of history being made.
Yeah.
Maybe in football with the NSL final. Football's a funny old game, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think often the team that wins isn't always the best team on that day. But for me, a champion's... deserve a champion no matter what. You're a champion. You find a way. The Dubs did to Vancouver. Were they the better team in that match? Or was AFC Toronto?
What we said on broadcast was that it was a tale of two halves, and it was very much that. I think if you look overwhelmingly at what was presented to the fan and the people watching, it was AFC Toronto. But they couldn't finish their dinner on the day. So if they capitalize on some of those big chances that they created in the first half, they kill the game before the lightning delay, and they didn't. And those went wanting. They wasted those chances. They had that big opportunity with Okoronkwo, who had seemingly no urgency to kick it into a next gear on that run, and she wanted it absolutely on her left foot. She goes into the defense, two and three players coming back. So I think it's a tip of the hat to the Vancouver Rise and their resiliency, which they showed over the course of the season, really uneven. You could label them as inconsistent, but it was their ability, full pun intended, to rise above the challenges, the injuries, the poor form, and to become champions. They're like, they're history makers, inaugural champs of the Diana B. Matheson Trophy in NSL, and fully deserved. And what a goal by Holly Ward, Jimmy's favorite player, I have
my
to say
favorite,
it.
My favorite player.
But she was, and I got some stick online. Asa Rahman, friend of the show, contributor to Footy Prime, somebody commented that she was like, I don't know if they're watching, like referring to me and Cigna, I don't know if they're watching the same game that I am, but she was huge in blocks, what she was doing defensively in the channel in the first half as it was an onslaught by AFC Toronto. But Holly Ward is a winger. She's an old school winger. She goes 1v1. She sledgehammers you with pace and she gets to the byline. She crosses in or she gets opportunities and she scores. And she wasn't doing that. So in our estimation, we mentioned the defensive contributions, but we're like, she's not influencing the game going forward the way that she normally does. But it just takes a moment. And that ball from Cowart, they start at their own six off the goal kick. Sublime touch by Lisa Pachurski, one of my other favorites. Shout out to Lisa Pachurski on the year. Touches it to Sam Chang, Captain Sam Chang. Takes it outside. A beautiful left ball played into space for Holly Ward to run onto. And Zoe Burns had done a great job defending her all night. But again, wasn't really tested, especially in the attacking third. And she takes a beautiful first touch inside to eliminate Burns. And then maybe for us, you can speak to the goalkeeping here, maybe the positioning of Cody Yard, but I think you just credit Holly Ward for the finish because she's mm-hmm. tried that near post finished over and over in this league, cutting inside to her right foot, going kind of back across, almost like that reverse shot to the near post. But she just kind of a couple yards off the ground, off the deck, and she just puts it into that far corner. It was gorgeous. It was really, really great to see. So all full credit to the Vancouver Rise, fully deserved.
Yeah, it was deserving to win any final. I mean, the equalizer, not so much, but
no,
the winner was spectacular. I wouldn't blame the goalkeeper, although the net's pretty small at that stage, but it was well placed.
Could it be that Asa was, in fact, watching a different game? Right? Maybe he's watching a tape from a previous game.
Yeah. Yeah, he was watching the semifinal.
Yeah.
No, but in his defense, it wasn't Asa, because he said, I think in his words, I'm paraphrasing, he said a relatively quiet outing up until that point by Holly Ward. And it was somebody, I think, who follows us both weighed in and kind of she came at me in Cigna and was like, what game are they watching? Like, she's maybe been influential, but just on the other side of the ball.
Because yeah, before the season.
It's also difficult as well when you're a winger and you're getting pinned in, because AFC were on the front foot, weren't they? So yeah. You get dragged back, and then their attack isn't springing forward because they're too deep. So yeah. I was watching closely the wide play, and they were it was difficult at times for them, because even when they did start coming forward, the right back was drifting out so far to mark Holly Ward. That's why I always went to the left back first. But when she did get her opportunities, I liked it because she wanted to go 1v1 and take her opponent on.
Mm-hmm. That's Jimmy, you were talking about that play. So Okamoto started on the left as the fullback for Vancouver, and you were talking about their lack of production, their lack of threat going forward. And part of it is that you said Holly Ward, and you're watching her. I know that you like her, but as a left-footed player, I think that you felt like a sense of, I need to kind of pay attention to this player and maybe defend them
a little bit. That's the reason.
It is, yeah. Though. Like, there's something about left-footed players sticking together and coming to each other's defense. But yes. you were saying something about Ward pulling wide.
Yeah. So when she did, she would pull wide, but there was a lot of times where she wanted it to go to the fullback first. And I was like, no, just spring it into your feet first. It's just her movement. I think it was off at times because she was beside her defender. And then as that play's starting to build, that's when she's got to go out quick to give her space 4 or 5 yards, because that's what she needs so that she can run at her defender. But a lot of times it was like she wanted it to go to the fullback comes in and then come out to her. And I thought it would have been a lot easier for her if it just came straight out to her and she can run and go 1v1.
When you and go which
were the Canadian final with another delay, a lightning delay in November.
Not much luck, eh? I know. But let me ask you, like, when you go into the room at halftime and you're down by one, but it could have been 3 or 4.
Yeah.
What is the mindset? Is it like, wow, you know, we're still in this. We can turn this around. Or, I mean, you could see why also you could be almost defeated. Say, man, we're being smashed here. Okay, it's only 1-0. Obviously, Vancouver were the former. They're like, wow, you know, it's 1-0, could have been worse, but we're in this still. Let's show them what we have. But I imagine it differs very much from team psyche to team psyche.
I think Sam Chang spoke to that, and she said they used both the lightning delay, which is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, around the 38th minute, and then they came back. Mm. And then something we haven't mentioned yet was the Jasmine Spencer clearing. Like the clearance off the line off Okamoto, there was another opportunity where it came from a wide right position and it deflected and it hit off the post to Cody Yard's left.
Was that the same play though?
Oh no, you're right. It went off the post and then it landed it like right in a central area, fell to the feet of Okoronkwo, and then it was Spencer just like in that space there, and she saves it off the line. So that was a critical play to keep them in it. And that was after the lightning delay. So they go into the dressing room and they're only down a goal. So yeah, it's 100% at that point. It's like, we've hung on. We've not been good. We have a shot in this thing. And they came out and of the dressing room in the second half and they were front footed. They like sort of re-energized and they were like, okay, let's play the way that we can. Whereas AFC emerged and they were a little bit flat. And I also think, tactically and from a coaching standpoint, and Forrest and Jimmy, you can agree with me here or not, Heine Möller, much the way she did in the semifinal, she made tactical tweaks. She went aggressive. She took Okamoto as that left back out, and she put in Mariah Lee, who provided the assist for the equalizer on aggregate for Holly Ward in the semifinal. She came in and again was impactful. And like they went like to a back three. They usually build in a back three, but that was a more aggressive move. And then the substitutions that Milanovic made didn't really come off. It was more of the same. I felt like AFC Toronto were very one-dimensional in that second half, where they were trying to catch them on the break and they were successful sort of in transition. But other than that, they were just trying to whip in crosses that lacked the quality to really threaten.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We talked about that as well, about the tactical substitutions and, you know, changing the shape. And you just said more or less, you know, the Vancouver coach outthought the Toronto coach, and he mm-hmm. didn't have any answers for her.
Dubs, I wanted to ask you, how great did it feel to be surrounded by a bunch of your contemporaries who are all starting a new league inaugurally that you're involved with, and you get to see them kind of reach the pinnacle of women's soccer in your own country? Mm-hmm. How'd you feel? Like, was it real to you? You're like, you and Cigna calling the game. Then you get to hang out with not just Footy Prime, because that's special, but all of your friends are in town. Yeah, but all your friends are in town. How mm-hmm. did you ball at all? Like, you're a baller.
I bawled on air. It was so embarrassing.
But Craig's done that too, so don't worry about it.
What's that?
Craig's done that as well.
Yeah.
Always bawling on Saturday night.
Workout qualification. His eyes out like a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I was bawling. I was hugging Diana on Saturday night. Obviously, like, I'm a little bit taller than her. And I was like,
"Are you?" She just disappeared.
I bend over, hug, right? That
envelope, the awkward bend her over for somebody who's 6'6".
Yeah,
yeah.
No, but how was it, Dubs? Like, tell me how that day was for you.
It was different from the inaugural match, where I felt like I had to really compartmentalized, like, those feelings, and it was all about showcasing and uplifting the product on the pitch, and recognizing that even though I had had a part in it and I felt really, like, impacted by it and emotional by the magnitude of the moment, that, like, I could be emotional about it after the fact, right? And then, like, I had moments, like, around the game, but the game was very much like, this is about these players. And it was still about the players. It's even more so about the players now after we've played the season. And, like, the proof is in the pudding. And the investment from the government.
Did you say the proof is in the pudding?
The proof.
I think you did.
No, I said proof. Whatever. You guys know what I mean. I'm so tired. I think I mentioned this off the record, but I asked my husband, JP, this morning, how tired do I look on a scale of 1 to 10? And he said 46. And that's a pretty apt description of how I feel, but also how I look. But Erin McLeod, I'm going to blame her for me getting emotional, because I, like, entered this again, just like, it's about showcasing the players. And, like, what a privilege it is to have covered this league, but also to do it, as you mentioned, Wonger, with my friends, my contemporaries, my colleagues. It's pretty fucking cool. But Erin said to me before, you know, maybe half an hour before rehearsal, she's like, I just wanted to take a second and I just wanted to say thank you for, like, all the work that you've put in over the season. I don't want to cry again. And I was like, thank you, friend. Like, it means so much coming from you. And she said to her wife, Genny, and these were her parting words to me before we, like, went to do our final prep and to rehearsal. She's like, I just don't want to let Amy down. And I was like, you motherfucker. And that was like a dagger in, like, the best way possible, like, through the heart. And, like, I was fine up until that point. And then I got all, like, teary and kind of, I wavered. And then at the end, the panel had their final thought on the game and on the season, and they went back up to the booth for me and Cigna for, like, our overarching thought on the game and the season and the NSL and in its inaugural year. And it completely took me by surprise. I got, like, choked up. I had to, like, grab Cigna's arm, and I got through it. But I was like, what's wrong with you? Anyway,
Dubs. You know what, good, Dubs, I have to say, you know, it's an inaugural season and we can talk about the on-the-field play and how strong it was. But I've got to say, from a nerdy TV standpoint, the broadcast quality was fantastic all year.
Oh, thank you.
I thought you guys, like, from yourself, the color, Cigna was, as always, brilliant. Even seeing Rusty there in the bowels of the of being on the field at the break with Andy Petrillo, who's an absolute, obviously, the best in the business. Erin was there, who's, I think, has got the best hair in the business too. I love the hair. It's amazing. So punky. I love it. Uh-huh. But just overall, Kate all McKenna. Year long. Yeah, exactly. Just the broadcast quality throughout the entire season, I thought, was absolutely top notch. And for a first year fledgling league, mm-hmm. that isn't always the case. So you should pat yourself in the back for sure. And you set the bar for what should be another great second year. But the pressure's now being built, right? Because you've got to reach those heights again.
Yep.
And I'm sure you will. Well, there's money coming in now, more money coming in because the government.
$5.4 million from the federal gov, right?
Yeah, exactly. Good old government looking out for soccer.
You're welcome. Hey. You're welcome, NSL. It's yes,
us. As a taxpayer on occasion, you're welcome. But yeah, congratulations to Diana. We'll get her on the show soon. Mm-hmm. And the whole league, because it was a great event. You know, we were in the Brazenhead before the match quite early, meeting up with some of the supporters club, Carrie and Chris Rourke. And there was a buzz there. It was packed. Mm-hmm. It was packed. And then walking to the stadium with fans, it felt like a proper football crowd. I'm not being patronized in there. You never know in the first year of a tournament, right? And what, 12,000, mm-hmm. I think it was, in the yep. stadium? Mm-hmm. It's great. And this is the first year, right? It's going to build. It's going to be a slow build. We're seeing that with CPL. But it'll build, and I think it's it was a great little bow on what was a very successful first season.
Yep, and shout out to those, you talked about the league being fledgling, those supporter clubs, yeah. like out of mm-hmm. nothing, the Vermilion Vanguard, the Crow Collective, like at that trivia night, like there was just a little bit of some of that animosity building where one of the Crow Collective got up on a chair and started to say, like do a Vancouver chant. And then AFC responded, and like Bonnie and Signe and I were on our way out, and I was like, ooh, something's afoot. Something's mm. brewing here. So there's a love, there's a collaboration between all six of those supporters clubs. And did you guys see the TIFO that took elements of all of the six logos that they yeah. worked tirelessly on? So that mm. is so impressive. And like the culture, again, that was born out of nothing now is just so meaningful and so significant. But I wanted to just tip my hat to the Vancouver Rise, to that organization, from Steph Labbe to Robin Gale, who's come in and made some really impressive moves as that interim sporting director. Enya Heiner-Moller, Christine Sinclair, obviously, like, of course, Vancouver Rise won. Sinky's one of the investors, right? Like, she only knows winning. And all of that group there, Sinead King, pretty obviously Greg Kerfoot, like all of the kind of the roots that they've put down in that Vancouver community. So it's huge. So congratulations to them.
You know, Wunga and I were talking about that. We first got to the stadium. We saw the Vanguard, Vermilion Vanguard down there doing their thing. Claudio with the old loudspeaker, his voice was already done. but we just say, like, how cool is it, right? It's not a big group right now, but they're loud. And again, they're building something, this community that didn't exist a year ago. And you're seeing this guy, you see the same faces, right? You go to AFC Toronto games or events and you see the same faces there, right? They're a family already.
Yeah.
How cool is that? That's football.
We
have to complain and yeah. want to whine and complain about football and all the professional level and the monies and the lack of soul anymore. There's a lot of good stuff going on right now at that level. And we saw it with our own eyes on Saturday or Saturday.
And the building, we have to remember, it's not just building, it's investing. Time, mm-hmm. money, attitude, energy, everything goes mm-hmm. into being part of that. And the payoff is to all of a sudden you get to create a TIFO that does incorporate all six teams, that they brought all the owners out at the beginning of the game with Diana. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just class, that everyone was there from the first season, all of the club's owners. The only thing I can say negative isn't negative. It's just that there were 12,000 people at the match. It was a rainy, horrible day. But if it were Ottawa who had won, they would have made the trip down the 417, 401 kind of thing to get there to, I think it would have been more people, another 5,000 people, just saying. So, and Ottawa like lost in the semis and then they won the, I mean, that's an up and down. I'm from Ottawa, so I'm just leaning into the up and down season for them too.
Well, they were quite consistent, actually.
They were, yeah. I'm just saying up and down because they lost in the semis.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, Phoebe Pridham as the Golden Boot winner was there and presented on the pitch.
Right.
Sinky was there, yeah.
Asterisk, like we have to say, every time you mention Phoebe Pridham, I have to say that you are the founding president of the fan club. Just to say there is a bias here.
Casey Stoney's not listening, but call her in, please. Get Phoebe Pridham into the national team. Go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, she might be listening. You never know. Probably not.
No.
What was Sinky there on the weekend? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming she was. I didn't see any post game stuff because I was too busy doing stuff. But
Sink was there. She was at trivia night. Unlike other Footy Prime members.
Well, had we known it was on?
Had we been invited?
Having disgusting something.
Exactly. I didn't know about it.
Jesus. And, here we are. What was I going to say? No, and she was also present at that press conference to announce the investment in the Northern Super League. Sync was on hand for that. Yep.
Good. We also have to mention player of the game on Saturday for Footy Prime. Is everyone thought it was going to be Dubs. It was Craig Forrest. Craig Forrest got cold halfway through the match and went home, and I think he showered and got warm and then showed up 4 hours later. So off air, we were calling him Lazarus because the stone had been removed and all of a sudden he's back. So Craig Forrest, and I think you probably stayed up till two if you were out, if you saw Dubs on the.
Yeah, it was longer than that, I think. Later.
Now you mentioned the word Lazarus, reminds me of David Bowie, right? In his last album. Mm-hmm. And his name for many years was the Tall White Duke. Is that not a great name for Craig Forrest?
Yes, it is.
Tall White Duke.
Duke.
That works too.
It fits beautifully. Tall White Duke.
What time did you wander home? I want to know what your hours were. What are your windows to party? That's what I want to know.
Who,
going
me?
Forward. Yeah, you.
I don't know. I left Jimmy on the street at, I don't know what time it was. I can't remember.
I think because we went back to Fox and John's, right?
Yeah.
Did we?
I remember you on the floor.
All right. And then Bonnie and I and Kev Corain, the great producer that we worked with over the course of this season, he's just a delight to work with. We cleared out of there after you guys left, even. So I don't know. It was between 2 and 3. And I was in rough shape yesterday. But I just wanted to say, before we move on, Wong, you mentioned MVP and you said Forrest, but MVP of the game, first ever. Of an NSL final was Morgan McCaslin. And I mentioned that Jasmine Spencer clearing off the line that kept them in it, kept it to 1-0, but she came up huge for the Vancouver Eyes to ensure as well that they weren't behind by more than one goal.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
Like she made two or three saves in the first half that were goals or mm-hmm. could have been goals. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do want to shout out before we move on our supporters, our wonderful supporters club, Carrie Ryan. They've put together some amazing scarves, which five of us still have. JC had his lifted by someone in the press box, which is unbelievable. Actually,
it is. But there's some suspects.
Oh,
well, only because I was told that there was someone who was admiring and even said, "Hey, can I have one?" Mm-hmm. So when I went out with you outside, James, to watch the anthem from outside. Because as you do, and then watched the kickoff, and then came back in, and it was gone. And looking around the room, there was a lot of guilty faces.
Well, the press corps are just generally speaking a bad type.
Yeah. Well, and I asked our good buddy Thomas Hewitt. I said, "Man, keep your ears to the ears to the ground, and if you hear or see anybody with the scarf that isn't one of us, one of the six, then let me know and get some intel."
Wait a minute. It might have been Tom.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be the heart of government.
Somebody might have ate it because there was no food up in the press box.
Come on.
Popcorn. Yeah. Lots of popcorn. Everybody was gassy after.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Not gassier than me and Charms after the curried chickpea wraps at the men's national team game.
We're let down, aren't we? Am I still on here right now?
Yeah, but it sounds like you're speaking through your computer.
This is really well. I've lost my. I've lost you.
No, that sounds good.
You're still there.
Yeah, you're good. I don't see you anywhere. Hmm. Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay, back now. That's weird. My phone rang. It went through my computer. Then it kind of shut everything down. That's why. But so Carrie, they're amazing scarves, though.
Incredible. They're so warm, JC.
If you see someone wearing a Footy Prime scarf, please take a picture of them.
Serious.
We will then decide whether they're part of the supporters club and they are allowed to wear the scarf. Mm. And if not, we will track them down and we will kill them.
Okay. And we'll publicly shame them. One of the two.
It was amazing just watching JC going to person to person to bag trying to find this scarf. And I was just standing at the door watching him. And he's just over top of everybody, looking underneath the desk. And you know that individual that had it could feel Jason.
Oh, for sure. And it's in that room. It was there. I could feel it.
I have my eyes on Tommy Hewitt and J-Mo. So I think it's one of those two.
I think J-Mo had a scarf on, I think. It wasn't our scarf, but he had
a scarf on. Okay, well, listen.
It's something on. Said,
if you see a lovely, they're amazing scarves, Carrie. Thank you so much to the Supporters Club. And also want to thank Chris Rock, who is a brilliant, brilliant guy, longtime fan of the podcast and member of the Supporters Club. His mate, either a collector or he sold a lot of football merch, and he was clearing his drawers out, and he found a Liverpool... What are we laughing at?
Cleaning his drawers out.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, you were just talking about chickpeas.
We all did that on Sunday morning.
Yeah, not a tall white Duke, but a tall white Dookie.
Rocky, he presented me with a Liverpool Diego Jota shirt. It's unbelievable. I love it. It's incredible. Do I wear this thing to events now, or do I frame it? I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But it's amazing. So Rocky, thank you so much. I'm kind of jealous now.
I was just really excited that I got to meet him for the first time. I didn't get a Liverpool gift.
The other thing is Chris Rourke, even though Carrie does a lot of the heavy lifting for the Footy Prime Supporters Club, it was Chris Rourke's idea for the Footy Prime Supporters Club.
Yeah, he's a bit like us. It's like it's great ideas, but he needs, as we do, we need people to do it for us. Execute on the ideas, and Carrie executed Chris's idea.
CR squared.
Chris also had a signed photo, wasn't it? A signed photo from Forest, from Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
From when Jimmy played.
Jimmy's autograph was on there, right? But not his. He wasn't in the picture though. He was international game. Did they generally wait until you were away, Jimmy, to take the team pictures?
Yeah, it happened quite often.
Well, they didn't want him, like, you know, purposely flashing during the photo, and then they have to go back and retake.
Yeah, because that front row, you're kind of like squatting down, right?
No,
and you can see up.
He doesn't wear.
Keep them out of the house, buddy. Shout out to Rian Wilkinson. Yeah, that's right. My friend Rian Wilkinson, who's so busy coaching the Welsh women's national team, and Diana's invited her back to many an event, and she was able to. She arrived late Friday night. She flew out last night. And for Rian to be on hand, as well as some of the former women's national team players who were integral to this league getting off the ground, obviously spearheaded by Diana, but Desi Scott was there, Melissa Tancredi was there, obviously Steph Labbe and her involvement with the Vancouver Rise, but Rian as well, and Robin, obviously, who is the sporting director of Vancouver Rise, but former national team player, but Rian was huge in this league happening, right? She had a role in the pathway and in the build, and so for Rian to be there and to get a sense of everything that's happened since she left, but that she was foundational in creating, I think was pretty meaningful as well.
How busy are international managers, really, Dubs? Come on. Every few months, they have a couple of weeks. And then they got a lot of free time. So come on, she has time.
I suppose. She's on very little sleep. She's less sleep than I am.
I'm just being a prick.
I know.
I know she's
so Dubs.
Busy.
The entire alumni of the broadcast was all in one building at the same time.
That's true.
I mean, that's the story right there.
You get a picture?
Oh, I know.
Do you get a picture?
God, no.
That's a waste.
No, I know. That's why I think it was decided, because my sister Bonnie was on hand, that she's the better Walsh.
She could have stood in.
She could have stood in
for you.
She's a much better Walsh than I am. Of course she is. And she's a much better photographer. So Bonnie is like the family photographer, because I just forget. Like, I just put my phone away, and Bonnie takes great pictures. So anyway, another.
Who's the elder Walsh?
Oh, this is going to delight Bonnie to no end that you're even asking.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where
it's you.
I'm the eldest of the girls, yeah.
Oh, are you ready?
Yeah, so okay. Ian is the big brother, and then it's me, and then Cindy, Sarah, the twins, and Bonnie's the baby.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, don't worry, Dubs. You're aging pretty well.
We'll be right back, folks.
You made fun of my body not freaking half an hour ago, okay?
Okay.
This commercial break is brought to you by Botox.
Please,
you want to look as good as me? Do us a
favor. We never need filler in this podcast.
I could go in a whole tangent there.
I know.
Sometimes we sure could. Listen, Canada's men's team are playing on Tuesday against Venezuela, we think, assuming that match. I'm assuming it's going ahead now, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It has to go ahead now. But you never know. It's a big week for Donny Boy. We think it's going ahead. Last match of 2025, 5 games left before the World Cup, just 5 matches left. So let's quickly look back on 2025. Who's Canada's player of the year? International, forget club football. I know John David was named CONCACAF Player of the Year and it was great. But mm-hmm. from a Canada perspective, recency bias would tell you it's Richie Larea. And it's tough to say no, but he did miss games, right, didn't he, early in the season with that hamstring?
Yeah.
It's the more recent games he's been absolutely brilliant. But who stood out? AJ Johnson has been hurt more recently. Fonzie, of course, out for a long time. Who's been consistently in that 11? If we remove Richie from the equation for a second here, because I'm not saying it shouldn't be him.
Mm-hmm.
Eustachio's been key.
Mm-hmm. Tajon.
Tajon coming back from the injury.
Yeah, and his form, which has been even better than maybe, arguably, than before he got injured. But I like a couple of names come to mind. The emergence of Ali Ahmed.
I was going to say Ali Ahmed, yeah.
Tajon on that right flank, Eustachio, and DC. I would say it would be between those guys because I think Richie deserves a shout and recency bias would say that he is. But like if you the balance of the calendar year, he was less influential and just not even involved in the beginning of the year. But I'd say it's between those guys.
You agree, Jimmy?
Yeah, but I also think De Fougerol for me was unbelievable.
He's emerged, really yes.
Remarkable. It's a young guy gets into the team, and I think he just impressed everybody.
I will say though that
to see that Alfie Jones gets sorted out. I haven't heard anything about that lately.
I spoke to Canada's doctor yesterday about that, and they were saying they're still working on it. They got no answers right now. And that was yesterday about 4 p.m. So Sunday's obviously he can't accomplish much. But if he's available, I'm sure he'll get some minutes on Tuesday because they want to cap him. But I was looking back at some previous notes and early start of the year, the start of 2025, the questions were...
What was that, Jimmy?
What's happening, Jimmy?
He's like, cap him or something. Oh,
yes, you're wearing a cap.
And did you say bop, bop? Did you say that?
It sounds like you're Dutch now. Bop, bop.
No. You were like, oh,
I know, go.
I was like that. Oh, yeah, trigger.
Not that kind of
guy. Remember that was Charms being gangster.
Because I'm wearing a toque.
Yeah.
I'm very gangster. But before as 2025 began, listen to some notes, right? And the questions for this team were then, who's going to be the number one goalkeeper?
Mm-hmm.
Who's playing in the midfield? I think at that point it was on the right hand side, you know, with Tajon returning from injury. Who's going to be the right winger? Centre backs. Yeah, I think that was kind of set in stone, we thought, with Moyes and DC, I think probably still is. But I have those questions. Who's going to partner John David up front?
Yeah, but John David, we haven't even mentioned him.
I know, right? But those questions from January haven't been answered in a year.
Yeah.
All those questions outside of Tajon are still up in the air. Who's going to partner John David? Mm-hmm. Assuming John David's going to be the man up front for Canada. But center of the park, don't really know at this point. In fact, maybe it's even murkier now because, you know, Stefan Eustachio is not playing at Porto very much at the moment. Can't see it. I think he's a bit like John David. He'll start regardless, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But goalkeeping, we don't know. In fact, with Owen Goodman on the scene now, maybe there's a little spanner in the works there. Perhaps he can make a bit of a move to shock us all by the World Cup, Craig. You never know. Mm-hmm. Playing very well for Huddersfield right now, 21 years of age. A guy that Jesse Marsh didn't think he could get just 6 months ago. A guy that took it upon himself. He even hired his own lawyer to make this thing happen.
Mm.
And I had brief words with him on training this week. He is a big boy. Holy shit. Could be a second row in rugby. A bet he was actually. I bet he played some rugby in England. I bet he did.
And snooker and darts. Just to,
you're slowly
for your tribe,
falling right? in love, aren't yeah. you?
He's a unit.
Got stars in your eyes.
He's a unit,
and he has a unit.
What about his unit?
He has quite a package. Sorry,
that's not what I was referring to.
No package.
But no, but I mean, Greg, do you foresee next few months? He's playing all winter, assuming Dane stays in MLS and you know isn't playing for a couple of months. Assuming you know Max, you know, stays in MLS and you know isn't playing. If Owen Goodman is playing week in and week out and stays starting for Huddersfield, which is a good team in a decent league. Is there a story, a play here where we're talking about three guys fighting for one spot?
Perhaps, but I think there, it would have to go sideways for Dane Sinclair for him not to start at this point, in my opinion. It's so late in the game that even if he gets his chance, it's like just as the amount of games that they have left, so few games that how do you, you know, build that relationship with the players in front of you, like Dane and Max have had that opportunity over and over again with numerous different back lines, and to be fair, Dane's done very well with that. So, goalkeeper of the year in MLS, I just don't see that changing unless something drastic happens. But I mean, we know things can happen and injuries and whatnot. So, you know, never say never, but that would be my view on it right now. But for the future, another strong candidate for a starter for us.
And those one and two guys, like, do we give any credence to the rumors about Max to TFC? And then if that happens, is he in better stead to maybe make a shout for that number one? And does Dane feel the pull for us to Europe? Because he's out of contract in Minnesota, or does he think the sensible thing, the more pragmatic approach is to stay in MLS where I've been dominant?
Well, that's something they'll have to decide. But I mean, if he does get a call from a European club and they're willing to double his wages, and you know, there's that in play too, which is his bread and butter is club football. We have to remember that. That's, you know, we love international football, but it's your club football that's going to pay the bills and we have to really look after. So I'd like to see him get a shot in Europe somewhere, but MLS is a good spot for him.
But most years, if you're Dane Sinclair, most years, this would be a good year to move on and to maybe fight for a spot in Europe because you're goalkeeper of the year. You've gone on a good playoff run, no matter what happens now, Minnesota playing against San Diego, I think, isn't it?
San Diego,
the next round. He's done the job this year. It's a great time to move at his age as well. But it's a World Cup year, and you want to guarantee that you're starting somewhere. Mm. Right? So, Jimmy, could you still be lured over there? Or is minutes more important than money is kind of my point right now?
I mean, ideally, you want both, don't you? You want to play and get your money.
Yeah.
But for Dane, it's going to be a difficult situation for him. Yeah, look, if he does go to Europe, is he going to be a number one? He knows he's going to be a number one at Minnesota. That's his job. And if he does go to Europe, then he's got competition. So, and he could end up being on the bench. Or he could end up starting. Like, you just don't, it's the unknown. But it's a difficult decision that you've got to make as a player. What's best for you and what's best for your career? And it's going to be a hard one for everybody because you're going into a World Cup year. If there's no World Cup year, I think he's so fine. I think he's saying, look, I'm going to Europe. See you later. Mm-hmm. But
so So it's more of a gamble now, Jimmy, just given the timing of it, that they're headed into a World Cup in 6 months.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so because, look, let's be honest. I think Dane is the number one. Jesse likes him. I think he's the one that's going to be starting the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be on Dane's mind, is thinking, I know I'm going to be the number one. I'm going to start, but I need to be playing. And if I can stay in MLS, I know I'm going to be playing week in and week out. And then after the World Cup, then he can go. But then if I'm his agent and I sign a new deal in Minnesota, I want to get a clause.
Yeah.
Right? That I can leave after a World Cup for a certain fee. And I'm sure his agent will be doing that work because if he does well in the World Cup and he's playing for Minnesota again, doing very, very well, you know, big clubs that got money, they won't hesitate to to spend it.
Yeah, that's a good point about the get out clause, because I mean, ideally, another year in Minnesota running into the World Cup would have been just perfect, because we know what happens in the World Cup all the time. Players play really well and clubs just come knocking on the back of three or four games in the World Cup. Happens every single cycle.
It's called the El Haji Geoff scenario. And those that know, know, scumbag. but I had a really good point there, and now it's completely gone. That stupid line.
Your vitriol.
It was worth it over. For the line.
Yeah.
It's the Amrabat, right? From from Qatar. Sorry.
Another example. Not so much of a scumbag, though.
Could be.
But Dubs, the fact of the matter is there is still a bit of a stigma attached to North American football compared to Europe. Europe's the place to go. And part of that is because they don't share the same seasons. I think it's going to change in 2027, as announced late last week. We haven't discussed it yet. Mm-hmm. MLS is going to a European season, more traditional soccer season for 2027. Suddenly, I think you're going to see MLS elevate itself and its standing in world football, because you're competing in the same transfer windows, the same seasons. The money's, there's going to be a lot of money over here for sure. And okay, I know the weather. We're going to discuss this for the next 2 years and how it affects teams in the North. We understand that it's not ideal, but there's a way around it. I love it, but I've been brought up in the winter fall football. That's kind of where a season should be for me. But Dubs, I mean, I think for MLS, this is a fantastic move. It's a smart move. It's going to make them on the same level as European football within a few years. Do you agree or disagree?
I think that there was a sense of inevitability about it. I'm still not entirely sure how I feel about it, but I think for them to take a step as a league in terms of credibility and also global relevance, I think it was a necessary move. I think there'll still be a lot of things to sort. You know, and your northern markets are part of it. And I think that you've been seeing in the numbers in terms of like the big four, right? Like soccer has been taking over hockey and kind of elbows up, making space for themselves there. So like shifting to where your playoffs are going to be in May now, right? Versus in November, you move away from college football, you move away from American football a little bit, and you compete in like on a different point of the year. I think that soccer is well equipped at this point to do that and to make some strides. But like I just think about Montreal, like what you already are expected when you start, whether it's CONCACAF Champions Cup at the end of February or the regular season calendar, and you're like 7 or 8 games on the road. Like now you have to move indoors. Like do TFC end up playing at Rogers Place? Like I think that BC is less of an issue because they already have a retractable roof. Like they can play there and the climate favors them. But you look at Minnesota, you look at Colorado, you look at some of these Northeastern teams, you look at Chicago, like it's going to be nightmarish to deal with. And can you put bums in seats during these difficult, challenging times for the weather? But all of that said, I do think that I'm kind of convincing myself as I'm talking. I do think that it's the right move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. And they made some big changes with there will be no Apple Seasons Pass either. So it's going to be more accessible for people to be able to watch, which Apple I think Plus. Is a massive thing.
Apple Plus, which means you don't have to pay the extra. You do still have to pay for Apple, but you'll get that on your regular stream.
Yeah, it should have happened years ago. It's smart.
Absolutely.
I listen, Jimmy, I mean, we've kind of been conditioned over here that soccer is a summer sport, and I understand why. But as much as I love going to BMO Field on a Saturday afternoon in July when it's, 28 degrees, have some pints, it is great. But the traditionalist in me still likes freezing my ass off in a football stadium, drenched, and still drinking beer.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it in February sitting at BMO Field.
I was at the Azteca. I loved it this weekend. Yeah, who cares? We'll get through it. They are shutting down for 2 months. You're going to see a lot of the schedules will be really tilted, right? You're going to see a lot of home games, in the early part of the season. Sorry,
early part.
Yes, early part of the season. That's right. Yeah. And away games when it gets colder. And then at the end of the season, in the spring, you see more home games, I imagine, as well. It might actually work out pretty well for the Torontos and the Montreals of the world in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Or just put a freaking roof in the place. Making all this money, put a roof on stadiums. There you go. Mm-hmm. Problem solved. That's a few extra $100 million.
Well, remember, too, when Toronto played that final in Toronto, I mean, it was minus 10. Like, that was for the final in the in a summer season. So, you know, nothing is quite ideal for the North American League, really. And I think this is a good move overall. I think
another reason for the switch was the alignment with the international match calendar and the transfer windows. Like that, for me, like to tick those boxes, you go forward just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think, Dubs, you mentioned, I never thought about what it means for NHL as probably the sport, because MLS has done so well. It's wasn't Craig telling us when he was on one of his rants last week that MLS is like the third most, like as far as bums and seats, most attended league in North America. It dwarfs NHL. Now, in fairness, they're smaller stadiums, arenas, right? I get that. But I wonder what it does mean. It will have an effect on the NHL. I doubt it in Canada. It's just so ingrained in us here.
I don't think that it matters. I think there's this competition that just should not exist. There's plenty of space in the sporting landscape for sports, like hockey and soccer, for everybody to flourish. I don't know why there's such a protectionist like level in Canada, especially about hockey. Like they're so protective of it. It's like,
what are you talking about? You know why?
Yeah, I know what. But I lived 20 years outside of the country, and like it wasn't like that in Europe and in England. There wasn't like football like trying to protect itself. It was just everybody. It didn't matter whether it was rugby, darts, snooker, athletics, cricket. Everybody just loved everything and try to help each other along. It wasn't negative, but here it's quite protective.
Really, one sport is protective here, right?
You're going to find two sports now because baseball did so well.
I don't think MLS really touched baseball, but now even more so. They got the summer to themselves now, even more so,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I found it quite interesting. I think it's probably the right move too. But there's a couple things that, yes, there's the competition for the dollar at the same time. You know, it doesn't give people the opportunity to, hey, I'm going to see this match and this match because it's the competition for that customer dollar. The other thing is MLS doesn't care what's going on in Canada. I don't mean that meanly. They have 30 teams in the States, and they're looking to build out of there. They can decide where those franchises are going to be. The latest were, I think, Charlotte and San Diego, two warm weather clubs, right? That's where they're going to build. And if it fits with USL, we haven't really talked about that. The USL is looking to put in a new... Like, this is also, hey, maybe a way to fight the USL because it lines up with the professional side versus the semi-professional side. And then, they're giving themselves a year and a half, 2 years, right, to turn this into, like, 26, 27. That's a year and a half to get this all lined up. It doesn't feel rushed. Get people used to it. And to Amy's point about the internationals, we're just going through 3 weeks of not seeing a playoff game for MLS, and everyone's losing their shit about how stupid it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've got the Whitecaps coming up on the 22nd or 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll be 3 weeks since they've played. So, you know, there is the level of, hey, this, at least everyone will be in the same boat. At least everybody will have to look at this the same way.
It will make things like the Canadian Championship really interesting, right? CPL, assuming still playing a summer schedule, those teams, League One teams, MLS teams playing the other schedule. I mean, you mentioned USL. It's a great point, Wonga. You know, what is their play? What is the CPL's play long term? Do they adopt this schedule eventually as well? Or do they say, no, now we have the summer soccer crowd. Let's make it work. It's really interesting. I don't know, because CPL teams can't just put lids on stadiums. They haven't got that money, and they're all in Canada, right? So yeah, there aren't any warmer weather. Yeah, yeah.
Halifax, I mean, the last time the CPL great. Played a
that schedule.
The last time the CPL played an outdoor game in snow, it did really, really well.
That is a good point, JC.
Yep.
They should embrace it. More of that.
Snow machines.
Wonger, your point about just the lag, the international break, and then the break between the games for the Whitecaps. Like, mm-hmm. Ali Ahmed gets that red card. Do we know if he stayed with Canada? It would make sense if he stayed in that environment, you know, even though you think he would be returned to club under normal circumstances. But like, you stay in a highly competitive environment, even if you don't have a chance to play the second game. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, I wonder if the international clubs, that the Canada, for example, still has the right to retain that player, mm-hmm. if they cannot play. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, from Jesse Marsh wants the group, the brotherhood, that closeness. He wants them together, right?
And there's obviously so little time, really.
And he can train still, can't he?
He's mm-hmm. still training. Yeah. Well, generally, when Jesse Marsh got his red card, he stayed with the club.
Generally speaking, if you're not playing, you get red carded, you're going back to your club. That happened to me. I got sent off in Panama. We had another game, I think, in Vancouver, and the club wanted me back. I was just devastated.
But also, Craig, Canada could have saved money on your meals. So they're more than happy in that those days to send you back.
Someone needed him
$5 for the next 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laundry bill.
Meals were like the NSL press box.
Bags of popcorn was all it was.
Oh, no.
Popcorn and water. Tap water. It was rough up there.
Yeah, right.
It was unpopped popcorn. It was just the kernels. It's the kernels. Kernels and tap water.
And a little hot plate and a skillet with some oil in it. Right. You can do it yourself.
You got to figure it out.
That's right.
Saliva and kernels.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they took the scarf, so they could boil it down for a broth or something.
Mm. Maybe. scarf broth. I love scarf broth. The essence of JC in it.
That's soup nice. Soup spawned at JC.
Hey, Jimmy, Ireland. Holy crap. What a moment for Irish football, by the way.
Yeah.
96-minute winner against Hungary. They're into the playoffs. So they're not there yet. But
not there yet, but they're in the playoffs. But it was
speaking to some Irishmen yesterday. Joe Callahan being one of the Toronto Star. Great guy, Joe. Great writer.
Two amazing results. Actually.
Let's get Joe on the show. Talk about Ireland. Mm-hmm. Well, anything really. He just knows everything about football. But anyway, yeah, he was almost through a text. He was almost speechless, which is saying something for an Irishman. My God, what celebration! What scenes! Fantastic for Ireland, and they're not there yet. But 6 months ago, this wasn't even considered a possibility. You beat Portugal. You beat Hungary. My God, brilliant, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's exciting, and the under-17s as well. They beat Canada in the
that's right, yeah.
Penalties, yeah, which was sad because obviously you wanted the Canadians to go through. I thought they played a terrific game. Kvasi from Ottawa, the young center back, he ended up scoring to equalize and the match went into penalties. But Ireland ended up winning that match, and the first team are in the playoffs now, so it's looking good for the Republic right now.
Shows you how important that penalties are. Because you look at those under-17 tournaments, and let's say 50% of them are going to penalties. Mm-hmm. Are U17 women lose on penalties?
Yeah,
2%. Are men lose on penalties? Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're going to go on a big run, especially with 48 teams, when you think Dubs and your knockout is 32 down, you're going to probably have to win a penalty shootout somewhere down the line.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I wanted to ask you, there's some, I just saw some highlights, but some shithousery and some sublime shithousery from our Canadian goalkeeper doing like a chin up on the crossbar, getting yellow carded for it, right?
Brilliant.
That's great. He seems like he's well at home for a penalty shootout.
Yeah, that's right. Might have to sub him in during the World Cup. He's only 17. Put him in.
You're in, kid.
Do you see the, I think Nigeria blew it, right? In World Cup qualifying in AFCON, and their coach referred to voodoo. On the other, they're losing penalties. Who is it to? I forget now. But he mentioned this. There was some.
I think it might be right, Jimmy.
Was it Gabon? Yeah. And is it Gabon or Gabon?
whichever one you want.
Yeah, okay.
Who are you talking about? Nigeria?
Yeah, yeah. They lost to Gabon or Gabun.
Was it or Gabon. Was it they the got? Cong- was they it got?
Was it Congo?
I don't.
Well, no, no. I read about Dennis Bouanga's team.
It was Congo. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I'm literally just seeing the headline now on ESPN that the Nigerian coach mentioned voodoo. It's probably something off the cuff, and now they're making a big deal of it. It's ridiculous. But anyway, Craig, do you ever think about using voodoo during a penalty shootout?
I use it all the time. I've got your guys' dolls all over the place.
who bugged me most today?
Stick a pin in Wonger.
Ooh, can you do that again?
Where's that pin going? The big one for that World Cup for me was Norway and beating Italy.
Mm-hmm.
My good, not just beating them, like overwhelming them. Yeah, and Italy has to go into the playoffs and is for all of our Italian Canadian friends who cheer for Italy, good luck. It's kind of fun.
It was always going to be the playoffs for them. They had to beat Norway.
I know. So, yeah, but seeing Norway shocking result.
Yeah.
Norway's just been the story of qualifying, haven't they?
They really incredible. Have.
And what Haaland's done. Is it 23 goals and how many goals is it?
32. Is it? No, 37 goals in 8 games.
46 what? Goals. Four. The same ugliness as Norway.
37 goals in 8 games and only conceded 5.
And four score and 7 years ago.
Haaland had how many goals? 16 or something? Yeah, he scored a lot of goals.
So scored in 8 games. It's unbelievable.
And that, dear listener, is what Jimmy Brennan sounds like when he's close to his mic.
We should mention, because you know there's a little excitement brewing ahead of the World Cup in England perfect in World Cup qualifying. In fact, 10 games, 11 games now, I think 11 straight wins, 0 goals against, I think is the something like that. That's good, right?
With a German manager, are you gonna be okay with that, Sharon?
Well, this German manager doesn't give a shit about your name. He's just putting the best 11 out there. I know Jude Bellingham played really well, but Jude's been set on the bench for Morgan Rogers in the last couple of games, who's been fantastic. It's not always about the best 11. It's about the best players in the 11. It's about the best 11 as a whole. And he seems to be finally a manager that will stop trying to force players into 11. So it all builds and sets up for, you know, more heartbreak, but I'm kind of excited about England's.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I've got things. I've got two now, right? I got two. I can, you know, when Canada fall out, if they fall out, I can fall back on England's long World Cup, or vice versa. Right. So I'm feeling good about that.
How about CONCACAF? Haiti's got every chance of qualifying.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. They don't play any games at home.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd have some lessons for the more Northern American franchises and the Canadian franchises in MLS and the shift to the new calendar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe, Dubs.
That's a good comparison. How does it feel to not play at home?
It was.
Ask Katie.
The blood drained from Dubs' face there when no one answered.
Listen, we could gab on about this, but
gab on.
Yeah. All right, well, that was a
it's a missed chance. We realized we're the wrong team.
You feel better. Thank you.
When we're discussing how you pronounce Gabon, when they weren't even involved in the topic at hand, that was a time to use that. All right. Well, listen, that's probably time to say farewell for today. We are back on, there's a broadcast tomorrow.
Yep.
I guess you'll be talking about the NSL.
Correct.
Who's on tomorrow's show?
I was hoping Rian could join, but she cannot. So it'll be the regulars, me and Shreen and Signa.
Rian's too busy, obviously, being an international manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. And then we're back on Wednesday morning, recapping Canada against Venezuela, assuming it goes ahead. And then Thursday or Friday. So lots to get to. We're doing a Munger's Whale Sack later this week.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Yeah, there's some good ones, but keep them coming on YouTube, on the social medias. Even got a couple through email, actually. People still using that. That's good. So footyprime@gmail.com? Is that what it is? Or are we doing the old info at footyprime? We are footyprime.com.
We can do either. So footyprimepodcast@gmail.com or info@wearefootyprime.com.
By the way, We Are Footy Prime is actually getting some updated content finally again. Yeah. So check it out. It's great. It exists. It's alive.
Thanks to Casey.
That's Casey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our new contributor. So yeah, that's
JC's got a like and subscribe up his nose.
Mm. Oh yeah. Get like right in there, people. JC's sinus cavity is a great place to be. All right, everyone, until next time, thank you very much and cheers for listening.
And Jimmy on the call tomorrow.
Jimmy on the call.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter @footy_prime and on Instagram @footyprimeIG and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Jimmy,
is that like a J-Lo song? He's still Jimmy on the call.
Good dancing, by the way, Dubs. You, Signa, and Kate.
Oh, yeah. It's good,
well
right?
Done. Yeah, very well
Thank
done.
You. Keeping it in the rain delay.